Good morning, everyone. All right, I'm going to need some participation from you real quick. I know it's kind of, that might sound odd, but I need you to help me kind of steady my nerves, so get ready. So Monday, we had an event, right, that was pretty unique. Who in here, it was the eclipse, okay, so I'm not going crazy. Who in here heard on Monday somehow that the world, there was a possibility that the world was going to end on Monday? Raise your hand slightly if, okay. I know how we feel about hands sometimes. Okay, so there's a lot of us that heard that, right? I also heard that. And anyone else think it's unique that I was asked to preach on the Sunday after that? Yeah. All right. So, those of you that are visiting, my name is Zach. I'm the high school minister here, so Wes will be preaching next week, so make sure you come back next week to get the real guy. So if you've never heard Wes preach, he is phenomenal. So I get to take over a little bit today. So I'm super honored to speak this morning, and I'm excited. I used to play basketball, and I don't anymore because it hurts too much. But so I don't ever get that like nervous to do things. So this is a nice rush, okay? So it feels good. So I want to start with the word storytelling, okay? For those of you that have grandpas like mine, my grandpa was a storyteller, okay? On my dad's side, both of them were storytellers. But in this case, I'm going to talk about my dad's dad. He was a tough old guy. He lived in South Georgia, lived on a farm. And so every time we would go down there, he would always tell a story, okay? He was also a prankster. I believe that's where I get it. I don't ever get to do it at home because Jordan hates pranks, but I get to pull them at people at church all the time. But my grandpa, when I was probably 10, or 11, we went down to visit during the summer, and he planted this story in my sister, and I have a twin sister, in our brains about this bobcat that was terrorizing the farms around my grandfather's farm. In my head, I'm thinking mountain lion. I don't know the difference. Okay, so we're just going to call it a bobcat for right now, okay? So all week, he was telling us, this bobcat is huge. It pulled a goat out of Farmer John's pen, okay? And in my mind, thinking, my goodness, goats aren't small, okay? So this bobcat must be a good-sized bobcat. And then, you know, we would hear something just roaming around his farm, and he'd look at us and go, you think that's the bobcat? You know, I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm like, I don't know. And so all week, we get this, my sister and I get this bobcat spiel, okay? This big cat that is terrorizing South Georgia, Pavo, Georgia, okay? So one night, we're going down, and my great-grandma lived about a mile from my grandparents' house, just down the same road. And so, as a family, we walk down to my great-grandma's house. First inclination of something weird happening, right? So we walk down, we have dinner, and then I remember my grandpa and my dad saying, hey, Zach and Larry, we gotta run back to the house for something, we gotta get something. I'm thinking, okay, whatever. And so my mom and my grandma, they tell us, hey, y'all, we're gonna stay here with your great-grandma, why don't y'all go ahead and walk back to the house? Okay, no big deal. I'm 10, right? I'm a big guy, I can handle it. Okay, I'm gonna protect my sister. So we walk down, okay, and both sides of the road are lined with cornfields. Okay, Stephen King novel. But it's kind of spooky. Sun is setting, so it's nice and quiet. Okay, me and my sister are just walking. All right, all of a sudden to my left, I hear this rustling in the corn. And so I start looking at my sister and I'm like, okay, this is kind of weird. All right. Then about 20 steps later, I hear it. What I think is the most ferocious sounding cat noise I've ever heard. I'm not going to do it for you, but just imagine it, okay? So I look at my sister, and we do what everyone would have done in this situation. We take off, okay? I take off running. And it was all I could do to push my sister down and take off, okay? So I am out of there. I am done. I'm gone. And I hear laughing, okay? I hear laughing. And it's my grandpa and my dad are walking out of the corn, helping my sister up, and they are just, my grandpa's crying. He's laughing so hard, okay? And so my sister watches this later. I'm really sorry. But it was survive, okay? Zach was in survival mode. You don't have to be the fastest. You just can't be the last, right? So I'm thinking about this years later. Every time I saw my grandpa from then on out, he would tell us, he would remind us of this story, okay? And so it made me think, man, A, I miss him, and B, how great of a storyteller he was, even though he kind of rendered the story himself at my expense, it was still a great story, okay? But as I'm thinking about today, it got me thinking, right? When we're going through life, right, and something kind of scares us or something goes wrong, we try and fix it on our own, right? In that situation, to try and get out of it, to try and save myself, I'd knock my sister over, okay? Or I tried to. I pushed her down and just took off, okay? Just when we think we have it together, the situation turns upside down. In my mind, this bobcat was about to tear me to shreds, all right? We think to ourselves, I can do this. I'm okay. But in reality, a lot of the times, we can't do it by ourselves. And so we're going to get into the lesson today. All right, I've got a picture up here of a famous storyteller and author that you may recognize. This guy, his name is J.R.R. Tolkien, all right? And he is the author of The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, okay? A lot of other stuff, all right? But the what we're going to talk about today was a lecture of his titled On Fairy Tales, all right? It was written in 1938, so I know what you're thinking, never read it, and that's okay, okay? Never read it, and that's okay. But in this lecture, he talks about the importance of fairy tales, all right? What they do to us, what they allow us to think about, all right? He tells us that fairy tales are not only for children. Okay, if you're like me and you've had small kids, right? You tell them fairy tales. Okay, good, a story that whatever happens, good prevails. Okay, so these fantasy stories help us see the world for how it's meant to be seen, not what it truly is. All right, these fairy tales help us wipe our window clean and see the world fresh. So we come to our main text for today, and coming from Ephesians chapter 2. We're gonna read the first three verses. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. All right, so Paul here is telling the Ephesians how it really is. Right? He's not holding back right here. All right, he's telling us we're not tiptoeing in sin. All right, we don't have one foot in, one foot out. We're mucking through it. We are neck deep in our sin. We are dead in the water. All right, we are dead in the water. So these people are that he's writing to, right? They would say, we're not okay. And you know what? That's the reality of our human experience, right? That's the reality of it. That in this world, if we try and live in this world and hold to the culture of this world, we're not going to be okay. So the reality check is, we're not okay. We're dead in the water. If we leave it up to ourselves, we are dead in the water. We try and hide it, all right? We have social media, right? We post only the good things. Most of us only post the good things, okay? We like to compare ourselves to what we see. I do it. I don't know how many dads I follow that they're like working out with their kids and they're all happy, and I'm like, man, I want that, right? I want that. We go through life with a smile on our face. We tell people, we're okay. Zach, how are you? I'm good. How are you? All right, but in reality, we're not okay. But in verse 4 starts out with two words that completely change our reality. It says, but God. Two simple words, but God. All right, in Casey Lute's book, But God, all right, this phrase appears time and time again at crucial junctures in Scripture. All right, it's perfect for highlighting the grace of God against the dark backdrop of human sin. All right, we see it in Genesis 8:1, in Exodus, we see it in Nehemiah, in Psalm, in the book of Psalms, in Romans, in Acts. Okay, so the phrase, but God, is all over our Bibles. All right, and to the left of but God appears the worst human atrocities. All right, we see disobedience, we see rebellion, we see hopelessness, darkness, death. But God, now we see action. But God moves. God acts in a powerful way because we need help. It is a wonderful thing that happens. So going back to Tolkien would say that this is something that fairy tales do. We have something bad, and then, boom, an instance happens, and then something good. So Tolkien coins a word, and that word is eucatastrophe. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh boy, this guy. Right? This guy's coming up with new words. He's preaching about words that we've never heard of, and that's okay. Bear with me, okay? So we've heard of the word catastrophe. All right, catastrophe means something suddenly breaks into our world and turns it upside down. A turn to the worst. Something completely out of the blue. For example, a bobcat chasing a 10-year-old down the road. Right? A tree falling on your house, getting hit by a tornado, a loved one is hit with cancer, a loved one passes away. These are all catastrophes. All right, the word you in Greek, all right, the prefix means good, well, pleasant, true. So when you combine them together, eucatastrophe is a massive turn in fortune from a seemingly unconquerable situation to an unforeseen victory, usually brought about by grace rather than a heroic effort. And that is what we have here in Ephesians. A right comes not from yourself or the person, but from an outside source. It's unexpected. In our fantasy stories, this happens all the time. Okay? It happens all the time. For example, in the movie adaptation, all right, we have the army of the dead. We're talking Lord of the Rings here, okay? We have the army of the dead accompanying Aragorn to Minas Tirith, replacing the Grey Company and defeating the orcs of Sauron. You never thought you'd hear that from the pulpit, did you? Yeah, that's an example, okay? Another example, we have the final destruction of the One Ring within Mount Doom. When Frodo is unable to destroy the ring on his own power, what happens? Gollum comes from nowhere, attacks him, takes the ring, only to be thrown into the fire where it is destroyed. An ultimate good becomes of it. A eucatastrophe is a sudden moment of wonder. Let's go to verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. To the right of but God is hope, light, and life. Following God's intervention, Scripture becomes grace, righteousness, and justice. God is wiping our window clean. We are seeing the world fresh. And like even like Ben said in his talk this morning, God makes us alive when we were dead. The very core of the reality of the gospel and of reality itself is when we're left to our own devices, we are basically a valley of dry bones, right? Ezekiel 37. We are dead, not going to live lives that are okay, but only because of God's action do we have life. Only because of God's action do we have life. And this is the wonder of this story, this connection we have with a risen Jesus, the reality of God having acted. So eucatastrophe changes our meaning of what life is about. God's worth is seen in our work. The attention is not on us, but on God. And we are his workmanship. Verse 6 through 10 says, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Eucatastrophe takes our deadness and makes us alive. Reality is, we yearn to come up with our own path in life, right? We yearn for that. When we're going through stuff, we think, man, I can do this on my own. I can pull myself up by my bootstraps and do it on my own. But God breaks in, and a sudden and wonderful turn of events occurs. All right, we'll cover bad days. We'll go through bad days. We'll go through a lot of them. But God will break in and change everything. We are not alone. We are not alone. And we are not identified as our former selves. All right? I can't tell you how many times I hear that by guys especially, right? You'll talk to them and they're like, my name's Joe, and I'm an alcoholic, all right? But we're not. My name's Joe, and I'm an addict. But we're not our old selves. We're not identified as our old selves. We are made new, all right? So whatever you're holding on to, whatever sin you're holding on to, that doesn't have to be your identity, all right? We are made new. Romans 7, and I know I put the wrong chapter up there. I was looking at it last night, so don't make fun of me. But it's Romans 7, starting at verse 14. It says, for I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Without God, we sin. We're wretched. We're miserable. We are dead in the water. But with God, we are made new. Verse 24, if I can find it, says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? You ever thought of that before? It's crazy. To me, it's wild how God works. This week, I'm going through this lesson, and Romans 7 hits me right in the face. Wretched man that I am, Who will deliver me from this body of death? Who is going to save me? Who is going to deliver me from my sin? And it's right here in front of us. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Without God, we're miserable. But with God, we are delivered from that sin. We are alive. So this year we've been talking about loyalty. That's not it. This year we've been talking about loyalty. And I am going to use another Lord of the Rings reference. I can't help it, okay? You're talking about loyalty. You have to talk about Sam and Frodo, right? Sam is with Frodo the entire trip, okay? Pretty much the whole basis of the first movie is them just walking, okay? So I spared you 3 hours, okay? But they get to the very end, and Sam, he sees what's happening to Frodo here. And Frodo's just, he's just dwindling, right? And Sam knows he can't take the ring himself because of what it'll do to him. But what does he do? He knows that he literally picks up his friend and carries him up the mountain. That's loyalty. That's being loyal. Is our loyalty to Jesus? Are we that loyal with our faith? So do we need to commit to Jesus? Do you need to recommit to Jesus? Behind me is our baptism pool. All right? Baptism is the ultimate pledge of allegiance to Jesus. All right? We've talked about how we are dead. In our own selves, we are dead in the water. But with baptism, we are washed clean. And when we come out of that water, we are washed clean. When we realize we can't do life on our own, and we need to be baptized, our windows have been wiped clean, and we can see the world fresh. So we're struggling. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe we need prayers, right? But maybe it's a little scary, a little nerve-wracking to come to the front. I get it. All right? But I don't want that to be a deterrent if you're struggling and you want some prayers. We've got two elders that'll be in the back in one of the rooms back there. All right? That if you want to talk to, if you want some prayers for, they are more than welcome, more than happy to talk to you. We'll have two elders up here in the front that if you want to come down and talk to them, they'll be here for you. All right? But don't struggle on your own. Don't struggle on your own. Okay? Whatever you're going through, remember, God works, but God, right? There is good to the bad, all right? So if we can help in any way, I'd like you to please come forward, and as we stand and as we sing.